Well, dear hearts, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And today I'm going to present to you, for your consideration, the message I preached just this past Sunday to our local fellowship here in Jacksonville. And I want to ask you to do this. Going into the new year, let's just purpose within our hearts that we're going to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're going to be the ambassador for Christ we've been anointed to be. We're going to be the believer priest we've been anointed to be. We're going to be the soldier of the cross that we're supposed to be. And that we're going to do everything in our power through our prayer life, our witness, our testimony, to do all we can to advance the kingdom of God in this nation and the nations of the world. So going into it, you have to know who you are. You've got to know that you know that you know who you are in Christ Jesus. I was trying to make that point so well known to our people this past Sunday, and the message is entitled Saved, Safe, and Secure, because you see, you will never pose a threat to hell until you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You've got to know that you are saved, safe, and secure in Christ Jesus if you're going to pose a threat to hell. And we want every child of God to pose a threat to hell. Let's go to the message now. Saved, safe, and secure, preached just day before yesterday to our local congregation here in Jacksonville. God bless as you listen. I'm putting books over here that you can take. I'm kind of thinning out the library, things I have read, things I'm not going to read, things that might do you some good. But I got one here that I've had for some time. Christ Returns by 1988.
Oh, yes.
This was a big seller back in 1988. I took one look at it and I said, that's nonsense.
Yeah, but who wrote it?
Because I knew that couldn't be right because it's unscriptural.
Yeah, but who wrote it?
But you'd be surprised how many of those sold.
Amen.
Christ Returns in 1988. And 101 reasons why. He went to the scriptures and misrepresented 101 scriptures to make his point. But we don't want to get critical. I'm going to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 12 and go through verse 21. So I've decided going forward I need to identify what I'm going to teach when I'm going to teach it. Right now, I've got three messages pending to post on the website this week. Two ready to go, one still to be done. And it just sometimes, I'm used to preaching three times a week. For years and years and years, I taught three times a week. So it's kind of hard to get out of it, but when God gives them to me, I teach them. Text, chapter 2 Peter, chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 10. But let me say this going into it. God does nothing halfway. God does nothing halfway. God created a perfect, flawless universe. And he just spoke it into existence. Let there be. And there was. Let there be. And there was. He spoke into creation every expression of life. Every expression of life. I think since he created it, there's been some mutations. I don't think he designed a cockroach. He may have. I don't know. But I have quite problems with that. But he created everything. And in creation, everything was perfect. Everything was perfect in its original created form, including man. Man was perfect. Adam, Eve were perfect. And then sin changed all of that. Sin changed all of that. And with sin came sickness, disease, death, every kind of deformity, Every ailment known to man is a direct result of sin being introduced into the human race. Now, I'm not saying that everything that you are suffering or undergoing is a result of sin in your life. I'm just saying that disease, sickness, death found its way into the mainstream of humanity because of sin that was set in motion when Adam and Eve sinned. And then, of course, it became even more so since sin. When sin entered the human race, and I as well as others, I don't have the vocabulary to explain the significance of what happened when sin entered mankind. I don't know anybody who's got the vocabulary to really explain what happened to mankind, to creation, when sin found its way into the human race and thereby affected everything God had created. Original sin is the root cause of every malady and disorder known to man. Sin. Root sin is the root cause. So, but God knew it was going to happen. Now listen, folks, you got to stay with me this morning. God in his omniscience knew before he created anything who would and who would not be born again. Nothing was left to chance. He gave man free will. But he knew who would and who would not exercise that free will to believe and to receive. Your being born again did not catch God by surprise. Once again, before he ever created anything, now either you believe in the omniscience of God or you don't. It is that simple. You either believe in the omniscience of God or you do not. I believe. And once you understand that, you have to understand that nothing ever caught him by surprise. Nothing that you ever said caught him by surprise. Nothing that you ever did caught him by surprise. He knew you before the creation of the universe. He knew you would be his. He knew when you would be adopted, when you submitted. He knew when that was going to happen. He's never learned anything new. So you can get up every day of the world. If I make it through the day, thank you, Lord. If I don't make it through today, I'll see you in glory. That's simple. That's simple. But he knew before the foundation of the world who among us would believe and receive, who would not believe, who would not receive. He knew at what point in time we would believe and we would receive. And he set everything in motion. He set everything in motion. The cross. You see, God in his omniscience had a plan. In his omniscience, omnipotence, he had a plan. And the plan included the cross. That he himself would become flesh. The Messiah. Called himself Jesus of Nazareth. The Redeemer. He knew he was going to come to earth. He knew there had to be a perfect, sinless, willing blood sacrifice to redeem those among men who would be redeemed. And he knew that he had to be it. He had to be the one sacrifice that could cover the sins of mankind. So with those thoughts in mind, let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. But let me say this to you going into it. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Regardless of how long they've been in sin, regardless of how deep they've been in sin, regardless of how despicable the sin was, regardless of what kind of sin it was, the Word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We were all born with a sin nature. And it didn't take us long to start revealing we had a sin nature. And some of us were controlled by that sin nature longer than others. And yet, there was a span of time in which we were all controlled by the sin nature. God took that into consideration. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered the human race. And after that, every human being born with a sin nature. So, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? And saved to what? Saved from an eternal separation from God into a place never designed for man, hell, designed for fallen angels. But saved from what? And then saved to what? What are you saved for? Child of God. Adopted into the family of God. Eternity. You've been saved for eternity. When you die, your last heartbeat puts you in eternity, but that's just the beginning of your eternal existence and coexistence with God under His Lordship in His new heaven, His new earth, the new kingdom. That's what you have to look forward to with the last heartbeat. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 again. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never stumble. Watch this carefully. Therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent to make your call and election sure. How do you do that? How do you make your call and election sure? You ask yourself these questions. Have I truly believed? Have I truly believed? Have I truly received? Have I believed the gospel? Have I received Jesus Christ as my Savior? Have I truly believed? That has to be settled this side of eternity. And this is something that has to occur between you and God. It can't occur for anybody else. It's one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. One-on-one with God. Have I believed? Have I received? You see, it's Christ and Christ alone that can forgive me for my sin. Because He puts the sin to death in Himself. On the cross, He knew who was going to believe. He knew who was going to receive. He embraced their sins on Himself and put those sins to death in Himself because all sin has to die. He knew from eternity past. And so, He paid my sin debt, and you can say the same thing. He paid, Jesus Christ, Son of God, God of the flesh, paid my sin debt with His life on the cross. He was God's sinless, willing blood sacrifice on the cross. If you've been born again, you owe it all to Him. You see, once I acknowledge I'm a sinner, once I acknowledge that, once I acknowledge my sinfulness and trusting in Him, no system of religion, no saint dead or alive, trusting in Him, putting all of my faith, all of my confidence in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I don't put it in Mary. I don't put it in Peter. I don't put it in any apostle. All of my trust, all of my confidence, all of my hope, all of my faith is in Christ and Christ Jesus alone. He and He alone can forgive my sins because He and He alone paid my sin debt. Now, once I do that, I have received the Holy Spirit. You realize that you as a believer, priest, are indwelt by the creative power of the universe? You're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. And He can enable you and empower you to be continually conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. day by day, He can empower you, enable you to come above and beyond any and every temptation that Satan is bringing to you. Let me tell you one of the things I've had to deal with in the last few hours. I look at where the nation is, and I look at the concerts of prayer, and I look at what we've prayed, and I look at what is supposed to be a praying church. But I don't see a lot of evidence of prayers answered on a national scale. Now, each of us have some prayers that have been answered. I do. But I'm praying things that have not been answered. And I'm praying big things. But then the Word of God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Word of God says to me, if you have sin in your life and you don't acknowledge it and you don't confess it, you are killing your own prayer life. You don't run in the presence of holy God, loaded down with sin, entertaining sin, keeping sin that is unconfessed in your life and practicing it every day. You don't take all that into the presence of holy God and get heard. And it's by His mercy, His grace, that any of our prayers are heard. His mercy, His grace. I'm challenging you going into this new year. Take an inventory. Take an inventory of your life. Take a look at every attitude, every action, every reaction that you know of that is in your life that is contrary to the character of Christ and the Word of God, and don't ignore it. Call it what God calls it. Call it sin. And confess it as sin. And keep confessing it until you get the victory. And you don't get the victory many times in the first time you pray it. Sometimes you may pray it for years before you get victory over that part of expression of Satan in the life. It's so real. In simple childlike faith, you come to Christ. You come to Christ saying, I'm a sinner. Can't save myself. Nothing I do to save myself. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting your word. And so that's how you become born again. Now, once you get born again, now you've got access to the throne of God. Once you are born again. Now, as one born again, though, unconfessed sin in my life hinders my prayer life. Word of God says if I have unconfessed sin in my life, that negates my prayer life. I have to understand what in my life is sin. I've got to acknowledge that. Attitude, action, reaction, whatever it may be, and take it before the throne of God. Word of God says in Luke 18:17, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will in no wise enter therein. You come into the kingdom of God as a little child, knowing you got nothing to offer. Except yourself. You're willing to be willing to be willing. Please understand what I'm saying to you. We need the prayer power. This will be on the radio this week. God willing. We need the prayer power in this nation. Because I'm watching bits and pieces around the world. And in this nation, I am watching bits and pieces that tell me we need prayer power. Satan has his hand in. And he's getting a deeper grip all the time. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. Do you realize that one heartbeat, with your last heartbeat, you're in the eternal kingdom of God? Never, ever, ever to face the stuff against you face today. Last heartbeat, you're in glory. It's over, it's finished, it's done.
He received into glory. Meeting all the saints that have gone on before. All the loved ones that's gone on before. That happens in the split second that you die, you're in glory. You see, when one believes, when one desires to believe and truly receives, they're born again. When one desires, truly, truly, truly desires to receive Christ as Savior and believes in Christ as Savior, they become a new creation. You, if you have received and believed, you are a new creation. And as a new creation, and this is so fundamental, you have direct access to the throne of Almighty God. You don't rush into the presence of God with sin hanging all over you. You confess the sin. An attitude. You know, I got surprised this past week. I got surprised at an impression in my spirit and my reaction to the impression of the spirit. Nothing about it was Christ-like. Nothing about it was Christ-like. Now, I realize you're too holy if that happened to you, but it happens to me. But in a heartbeat, if I'm not careful, I can, an attitude, a reaction, a response. No, it wasn't in my home. It was out mixing and mingling. But sometimes it's something you see. And I know you're too holy for this, okay? But sometimes you're just mixing and mingling, and you see something that in a heartbeat you develop an attitude and you make a judgmental decision and you judge that person. And that happened to me. Happened to me. Now, okay, that's going to happen. What's the key? The key is that you've got to recognize that it has happened, and you will not recognize that it has happened if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. But once you've been prompted by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had just whispered on your spirit that was wrong, your thought was wrong, your attitude was wrong, your reaction was wrong, the moment the Holy Spirit whispers that, you've got to confess it to get right. I can't afford not to have my prayers answered. I can't afford. I cannot afford to maintain a single solitary sin that the Holy Spirit of God introduces to me, lets me know that's sin. Your attitude is wrong. Your reaction is wrong. Your thought life is wrong. I cannot afford to retain that and let that hinder and restrict and block my prayer life. Nor can you. Nor can you. I want you to take an inventory. We're going into a new year. Next year. Next Sunday. We'll be in a new year. And I want you to go into that new year taking inventory. What is it in my life right now that I do not want to take over to the next year? I've got to analyze it. I've got to look at it. I've got to evaluate it. I've got to identify it. And I've got to pray it. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. It's got to be noticed. It's got to be identified. It's got to be prayed. So, once you're born again, once you were born again, you were adopted into the family of God. He has adopted you as His own. You're in the family of God. You have entrance into the family of God. You have entered into the family of God. And as such, we go back to the title of the message. As one born again, as wretchedly un-Christ-like as you may be at times, you're safe. You're secure in Christ Jesus. All hell can't take that away from you. Once you are born again, you are saved, safe, and secure. All hell can't change that. With all your failures, all your flaws, all of the un-Christ-likeness that is in your life, in your thought life, in your speech, the key is I've got to be sensitive to those things that are un-Christ-like, and I've got to take it before the throne of God. That doesn't mean I'm going to get victory right now. nor you. Folks, this is real. This is reality. Attitudes. Things we've had for years. Things that we get involved in that thought-wise or whatever it may be. You may not get victory over it. You won't get victory over it ordinarily first time around. And depending on how strong that stronghold is in your life, it may take you weeks, it may take you months. You may be years battling the same thing, and then you think you got the victory, and then one day you wake up and you don't have the victory. You get blindsided. That is reality. But you have to understand this. It's all part of the sanctification process. It's part of the sanctification. God has got to allow you to observe what is in your life that is unchristlike so you can identify it, repent of it, and pray it and get victory over it. It's a process. So, we're all one heartbeat from eternity, one heartbeat from God's eternal kingdom. Once you get there, the battle's over. But between now and then, the battle rages. Every day of the world, the battle rages. Then we pass into eternal life in Christ Jesus, the new heavens and the new earth. And understand this, you are going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in the new heavens and in the new earth over that redeemed part of humanity that finally is saying it receives him. You're going to be ruling. You're going to be reigning. Why not start now? In your prayer life, you can influence and affect things in the nation, in the nations of the world. This is not name and claim and stuff, folks. This is about Word of God. Pray big things. Pray international things. Pray national things in addition to your private things. But look at the big picture. D.C., the Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court, the federal court system, mayors, governors, denominations, false system of religion. Take it all before the throne of God. Interceding, asking God to move, 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 move. He's turned all of his work over to the church, folks. Hear me now. God has turned every bit of his work over to the bride of Christ, which is the church, which is the body of Christ on earth today, and he will leave it in our hands until we fail. Then he has to move. And that won't be pretty. That won't be pretty. But once you understand, wait a minute. The Word of God says, as one who's been born again, the Word of God says, I'm a believer priest. As a believer priest, I have access to the throne of God. The Word of God says I'm an ambassador for Christ. The Word of God says I'm a soldier of the cross. All of that's involved in it. Those are your positions in Christ Jesus. Those are your positions. I get up every morning of the world recognizing, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm a believer priest. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a soldier of the cross. All of that's involved in it. Direct access to the throne of God. And that's why day by day Satan wants to neutralize you. Satan wants to somehow neutralize you to keep you from becoming who you are in Christ and accomplishing all you can in Christ. Nothing through your witness in your prayer life. But you can't rush into God's presence with sin hanging all over you and be heard. That's why we confess our sins. So, when the day's going to come, we will be ruling and reigning with Christ and we'll be unmolested, unmolested by any demon out of hell. Amen. That will be in the past. 2 Peter 1:12. Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. He knows he's going to die. God has told Peter, you're going to die very soon. He's writing this last letter before his death. And so he's trying to get them to understand. He says, I want to remind you of what awaits you in eternity. That's what he's saying to them. I want to remind you of what awaits you in eternity. I want to remind you once again of who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm saying to you that a great deal of the church never understands who they are in Christ Jesus. They just simply do not understand Him. As a believer priest, you have access to the creative power of this universe. As a believer priest, He says, come boldly. He says, come boldly to His throne as a believer priest. As a believer priest, access to the throne of God. And I think sometimes that's so lacking in the church. I think that people come in and leave and never really understand who they are in Christ Jesus. The access they have to the throne of God. And understand this. It doesn't depend on how you feel in any given moment. I'm going to go to Midland. Every day of the world, Satan wants you to be the center of your own universe. Now you listen to what I'm saying. Every day of the world, Satan wants you to be the center of your own universe. He does not want you to recognize as a child of God that you are an ambassador for Christ, that you are a believer priest, and that God has turned all of His work over to the believer priest, the ambassadors, the children of God. He wants you, Satan wants you preoccupied with anything other than that. He wants you preoccupied with this and that and the other, and it will vary from individual to individual because Satan knows your weaknesses. Satan knows where you're weak. He knows where to touch you. He knows where to get your attention. He knows how to divert you. But do you know? Do you understand? Do you understand his strategy against you? Do you understand what he tries to exploit in you? These are things you have to come to grips with, folks. If you're going to walk in power, if you're going to walk in victory, you've got to recognize this warfare every day of the world. Word of God tells us that. Matter of fact, it does depend. You see, who you are in Christ does not depend on how you feel in any given moment. Well, I don't feel very saved today, preacher. I got this and I got that and I got the other and I did this and I did that and I said this and I said that. Your identification with Jesus Christ does not depend on your moment by moment, day by day living. Blow it, yes, you're going to blow it day after day. You're going to blow it with your attitude, your reaction, response, but that does not terminate your relationship to Jesus Christ. Confess the thing is sin. That was wrong. The attitude was wrong. The response was wrong. The reaction is wrong. What I said was wrong. What I thought was wrong. What I held on to was wrong. Just confess it. And then get up and walk on in victory. Joy, peace, and power. So you see, your relationship with Jesus Christ does not depend on how you feel at any given moment. It depends on what Christ did on the cross. And you're receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Look, spiritual reality. Listen to this carefully. These are things that I have to come to grips with. You have to come to grips with. Spiritual reality is spiritual reality regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of all other things going on in your life and around your life, and Satan day by day is going to try to introduce enough stuff into your life to somehow weaken you, somehow deceive you, but spiritual reality is a spiritual reality, and we are living in a world of spiritual reality. And every day of the world, you're getting out of bed, and you're going out to face a world of spiritual reality. Hell is a spiritual reality. Satan is a spiritual reality. Demons are a spiritual reality. Deception is a spiritual reality. All of that is spiritual realities. And by the way, Satan has access to your human body. Part of what you suffer is satanic in origin. It's right here in the Word of God. I can show it to you in the Word of God. Once you understand it is warfare, folks, it is warfare. Every day of the world, it is warfare. Spiritual reality does not depend on your situation or your circumstances. Spiritual reality is spiritual reality, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, the environment. A spiritual reality is a spiritual reality, and you're up against a spiritual reality every day of the world. It's real. The warfare is real. The battle is real. And 2 Peter 1:13. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Look at that again. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. He says, I have a duty as long as I live. It's Peter. Peter's saying, I have a duty as long as I live, to keep reminding you of the truth I have shared with you before. I've got to refresh your memory. I've got to keep bringing it back to your memory. Otherwise, you'll lose track of it. I've got to keep reminding you. You see, we forget so easily. We either forget or neglect truth. Either one can cost you. If you neglect truth, if you ignore truth, it's going to cost you. Satan doesn't ignore it. If you ignore truth, listen to what I'm saying to you. You can neglect truth, it'll cost you. You can ignore truth, it'll cost you. It's going to cost you. One way or the other, it's going to cost you. You see, you can never forget who you are. You can never neglect who you are in Christ Jesus. Every day of the world, that's got to be foremost in your mind. But then, by the same token, while you get up every morning and you've got to recognize, I'm born again, adopted into the family of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child in His eternal kingdom, now I've got to access what's available to me. As a child of God, what is available to me? You've got to understand what is available to you. You've got to understand what's available to you in Christ Jesus. You've got to understand what He paid for on the cross, what He accomplished on the cross, what He accomplished in His resurrection. You've got to know what's available to you. What is available to you? You as a believer priest, you need to understand what is available to you. And I'm saying to you, there are people sitting in churches that are suffering needlessly in any number of ways, because they've never received this truth. Until you believe it, until you receive it, till you stand on it, you suffer loss. You've got to believe and receive the Word of God. Everything we need to live victoriously is at our access through Jesus Christ. Everything we need to live victoriously is in Christ Jesus. And it's accessible. It's accessible. Everything I need is in Christ. And it is accessible to me, but I've got to go get it. I've got to believe it. I've got to receive it. I've got to embrace it. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Wait a minute, Bob. This is kind of stretchy. It's biblical Christianity. It's the Word of God. I didn't write it. I'm just teaching it. I'm just preaching it. It's the Word of God. You see, I've got to ask myself a question. Am I going... Now listen to me. I have to deal with this stuff, folks. I'm teaching it, so I have to deal with it. I have to stop and ask myself, am I going to live victoriously in Christ Jesus, yes or no? Am I going to live victoriously? You see, every day of the world that you get out of bed, Satan is trying to neutralize you. Every day of the world, there will never be a day of your life that Satan is not trying to neutralize you, your testimony, your witness, your joy, your peace. He's trying to neutralize you. But you have to ask yourself, am I going to live victoriously in Christ Jesus in spite of this, in spite of that, in spite of this? Am I going to take my rightful place in Christ Jesus? Am I going to live victoriously in spite of all hell coming against me? I can't make that decision for you. You can't make that decision for me. That's a decision that each and every one of us have to make independently with God. We have to be willing to say to Him, I am going to live victoriously. In spite of pain, in spite of this, in spite of that, in spite of the other, I am going to trust You, I'm going to believe You, and I am going to live a victorious life. Amen. Enabled and empowered by the creative power of this universe. Folks, you're never going to get out of bed. Satan's not trying to neutralize you. Every day of the world. 2 Peter 1:14. Knowing that shortly, see, he knows he's going to die. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He's saying to them, Christ Jesus has shown me that soon I'm going to die. Now, how Peter died is really no special interest to me. We've got this idea. Some say he was crucified upside down. We can't prove it. How he died is really not the issue. The point is that when he died, he was ready for glory. That is the point. 2 Peter 1:15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. He says, I want to leave you some reminders because I'm going to die, but I want to leave you some reminders. I want you to have remembrance of what I'm teaching you after I die. He left it for us as well. Let me ask you this. What do you want to be remembered for when you die? What do you want to be remembered for when you die? You're going to be remembered as something. You're going to be remembered. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered as you die? Say, well, I never put much thought into it. I have. I've put some thought into it. I want to be remembered as a man who sought to serve God. I'm not proud of the first part of my life. I'm not proud of a lot I was involved in. I'm not proud of a lot that I said, a lot that I did, a lot that I was. But God was using it all and has used it all. And so I want to be remembered as a man who sought to serve God. I want to be remembered as one who was faithful in spite of my limitations. In spite of my limitations. I want to be remembered as a godly husband, as a faithful husband, as a godly father. I want to be remembered as a godly father-in-law. I want to be remembered as a man of God. See, I can tell you what I want to be remembered as. You have to ask yourself, what do I want to be remembered of? What do I want people to think about when I die and they think about me? What do I want to be remembered as? What is your desire? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever taken the time to sit down and say, this is what I would like to be remembered. This is how I would like to be remembered when I die. And I've told my wife, when I die, don't stick me in a box and stick me in the ground. No. Cremate me. Take my ashes out to the ocean. Catch the tide that's going out. And throw my tide and say, go. Wherever the tide takes you. Good grief. See, people never stop and think about things like that, but I do. Some of you need to. How do I want to be remembered when I die? 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Do you remember that Mount of Transfiguration situation? Peter, James, John on the Mount of Transfiguration. And all of a sudden, Jesus was transfigured. And they saw Him in His glory. These were mortal men. But He was establishing something for them. And establishing this witness. And He became transfigured in front of them. And they saw Him in His glory. And then He came back to His natural, normal, earthly state again. They remembered that. 2 Peter 1:17. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God Himself affirming that Jesus Christ was His own Son. We listen to that. We listen to that. We read that. We pass over. Well, I got my daily devotional and I read it. But you're three human beings. And you're on the mountaintop. And Jesus is there with you. And all of a sudden He's transfigured into this glory of who He is. What He appears in heaven. And you see it. You're experiencing it. How in the world do you come beyond that? And then, see, I look at something and I say, Peter, after you saw Him transfigured on the mountain, you saw Him take upon Himself the glory of God in His transfiguration. How did you deny Him? Three times. Peter, you cursed and swore and said, I don't know Him. Christ Jesus had told Peter He was going to do that. Peter didn't believe it, but he did. But you wonder. But then I say to myself, well, the way He's expressed Himself to us, and yet how do we react at times? 2 Peter 1:18. And we heard this voice which came from heaven. Folks, this is Peter talking about something that happened. They're on the mount. And they heard the voice of God speaking from heaven. And we heard the voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Three of us. We heard the voice of God. Peter, James, and John. And then Peter could say, yet I, along with others, deserted Him. Even after that, Peter denied Him. Even after that, Peter deserted Him. Even after that, Peter, cursing and swearing, said, I don't know Him. I've never known Him. I'm not one of His disciples. I'm not connected to Him. But He was restored. We all failed. We have all failed at one time or another in our walk with God. Peter was restored. He was anointed and commissioned. And remember that at Pentecost, He preached and 3,000 souls got saved. Then a lifetime of ministry after that. Peter had a lifetime of ministry. Understand this. My future and my failure does not mean rejection. I close with this. We have all failed. We've all failed. We're going to fail. We're going to fail. We're going to fail at different times, at different levels, in different places. But once you're born again, no failure ever results in rejection. You still remain Christ. Forgiveness and restoration can be yours after repentance. No matter how many times you may fail, how badly you may fail, repentance brings about forgiveness. All He wants us to do is acknowledge I failed. My response was wrong. I got a surprise the other day. I'm not going to go into detail, tell you what it was. I'll just give you an idea. But I was confronted. Nobody said a word to me. I didn't say a word to them. It was an observation. And I realized this morning, well, maybe it was last night, but the Holy Spirit was taking me further and further. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of a mental, emotional reaction I had in the last week. Just something I saw. But the response was there. The reaction was there in the spirit, mentally, emotionally, it was there. And this morning the Holy Spirit was prompting me, that wasn't Christ-like. Your reaction, your response. I didn't say a word. I did not say a word. But the thought life, the thought was there. What's happened to me has happened to you. But you see, I can't afford to let that kind of stuff build up in my life because I got a wife sitting back there. I got a daughter sitting back there. I got a son-in-law sitting back there. I got parishioners in here that need prayer covering, and I've got to be part of that prayer covering. And you've got those who need your prayer covering. And you've got to be sensitive to when you have quenched or grieved the Holy Spirit and confess that quenching and that grieving as sin so that you can then go into the presence of God and be heard. Heavenly Father, I haven't taken it as deep as you took it with me. I don't know that I can. I just know, Father, that life is real. And there's a lot about life that's not comfortable. There's a lot about life that's not favorable. There's a lot about life that we would really not, we'd rather not encounter. But it's reality. And Father, we live in a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world. And every day of the world, Satan is trying to deceive us, compromise us. And I'm just simply asking you, help each and every one of us to be transparent with you, Father. Help us to be transparent with you. Acknowledging where we fail. In the attitudes, reactions, responses, in the thought life. Let us be sensitive to you. Where we're unchristlike, so that we can repent. And having repented, we can walk on in peace and joy, power and victory. Father, hear my prayer. Stir our hearts. Stir our hearts
to faithfulness to you. Where we desire intimacy with you, seek that intimacy through repentance, confession, praise, worship, intercessory prayer. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hearts, once again, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And as I told you going into the message you just heard was the message I preached just this past Sunday to our local fellowship here in Jacksonville, Florida. Folks, we need a people of God who know who they are in Christ Jesus. We need a people of God who understand the signs of the times, not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world, and that will give themselves to repentance, holiness, and intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the nations of the world. Thanks for being a part of Challenge today. Until we get a chance to meet and do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.